Well, my understanding right now, and it feels like the ground shifts a lot under us, is that as of Saturday, the CDC moratorium on evictions for non-payment of rent expired. It has been extended several different times, but it has finally expired. I know the Biden administration has asked Congress to extend it yet again because of a Supreme Court case or finding. It was determined, at least by the administration, that it would require Congress, that the administration or the CDC couldn't do it itself. And, you know, that looks like an unlikely thing to happen, that extension. Hard to say what would happen. So we do know that the eviction dockets in parts of the state are sizable for this week or coming weeks because landlords knew, you know, the moratorium would be ending. We also have heard from our partners in Louisville and Lexington and at legal aid entities that landlords have still been evicting tenants, but just not for non-payment of rent. It might be the contract has, the lease has expired and the landlord no longer wishes to renew it and wants the tenant to move, or there's been some breach of the lease, and that is why the landlord, you know, it might be evicting a tenant. So evictions have still been happening. It's hard to say, are we going to see like a one-time jump in August as the moratorium ends, or is this going to be a tidal wave that really is going to last for months? We really have no idea.
One of the scenarios that I read about in the paper this morning was the least possibility that Congress could still act, you know, in the coming days, this week, or sometime in the next week or so, could vote to still extend the moratorium. From what you said, you kind of feel like that's never not very likely.
Well, it's already expired. So every other extension that has happened has been, you know, to prevent the expiration from happening in the first place. So what we're seeing is it's expired. And so, you know, it puts the courts, I would imagine, in a really strange situation because it's expired. So every landlord that right now files for eviction is legally allowed to. If then a moratorium comes back in place, what does that mean for those who filed in the in-between time? I just don't know. It's really hard to say, but I think there is a sense that, you know, there's been enough time to apply for help, to negotiate with your landlord, to use your stimulus check and what have you. I'm not saying tenants have had sufficient time, but I think there is the impression that the moratorium has given a lot of grace and leeway, and that landlords are often impatient, and I just don't know if there's political will to extend it yet another time.
And you talked a little bit about this, but in terms of the kind of the on the ground implication, would you envision families, individuals being, you know, evicted in, I guess I'll use the word significant numbers in the next few weeks?
It is really hard to say. I do think there's got to be some kind of at least one-time bump in the month of August where landlords have observed the moratorium and have been waiting. And I think there are some cases where even if money is available, landlords may want to part ways with a tenant, and there's not – funding's not going to fix that desire for them to have the tenant out. I think there's almost no way to avoid some bump in August. If I may, I would like to offer some advice. First, to landlords, if money is the issue, please consider applying for rent assistance through Healthy at Home Eviction Relief. And on that website, we also have the links to Louisville and Lexington, who have their own programs, but they offer an identical amount of money to landlords. We pay landlords directly via a lump sum direct deposit, and we can pay up to 12 months of arrears, and we pay 3 months of future rent. So that's a sizable lump sum for some landlords. And so if money is the issue, I just would encourage patients in applying to us because we can help with that. To tenants, I would say the same. Please apply. I would also say that they need to show up in court if they have a court date. What we're hearing from judges is that too many tenants never even show up. So the tenant needs to show up. They need, in my opinion, to be able to say, I have applied for assistance, that it's underway. They ought to talk to their landlord about applying because we do require some information from the landlord. And, you know, let the landlord and the judge know, I've applied. If I could get more time, I might be able to get caught up and get 3 future months, you know, paid, you know, through the federal dollars that have come with COVID relief. So I just really encourage folks to get their application in, if they have it in, get it finished. And that if landlords can extend a little more patience, we might be able to get them paid in full.
Yeah, and on that note, in terms of timing, and again, it's not a, you know, can you pin it down to like these many days or weeks, but as far as getting money into the hands of tenants and landlords, is that flowing fairly? I guess I'll use the word, you know, well.
That is such a matter of perspective. I know at the national level, that it's called the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, funded through Treasury. It's taken a lot of heat at the national level for moving too slowly. I will say I feel like in Kentucky, we have a success story. Now, I will also share that we do still have a small backlog, but we're really climbing over it. But we got the dollars from Treasury in January, and Kentucky Housing Corporation, which is running the program on behalf of Team Kentucky, and then Louisville and Lexington, we three all got direct grants from Treasury, and we opened in mid-February. We're some of the earliest grantees to launch applications. And so we made our first payments in March. So since March, just Kentucky Housing Corporation has paid out $36.3 million on behalf of almost 7,000 renter households. So that's a lot of money moving in a pretty short period of time. And the average amount per household that we're paying out to landlords and to utilities is over $5,200. We have some landlords, when you count up multiple tenants, for whom they've applied, we've paid some landlords, you know, $60,000 or more, again, in direct deposits to their bank accounts. So I feel like we have a success story. We do still have a small backlog, but we will be kind of doing a new prioritization with relationship to actual eviction cases in the courts, giving them some fast tracking in our system. But we are probably just a few weeks from being able to process in real time, which would mean getting, if we get a complete application, being able to pay it in 2 to 3 weeks. We're not there yet, but we're paying pretty quickly right now. And if it's a complete application, we can really run it through fast. So the program was a little herky-jerky in the beginning. It's new for everybody. It's new for Treasury. But we're cranking now. We're getting a lot of money out. Last week alone, we paid out $3.7 million, mostly in rent, mostly in direct deposits to landlords.
And this item was discussed at the Lexington Fayette Urban County Council meeting. It must have been prior to the end of June moratorium. Was that one of the ones that was going to be the
mm-hmm.
end of June?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was discussed there, and the local grants official, Charlie Lanter, had mentioned to the council that, you know, for both tenant and landlord, well, and he's speaking about both, but that the importance of applying for the money, and that the landlord, it's to his or her benefit, because if evicted, he or she may not get that money down the road.
Mm-hmm, right.
Is that also an issue?
I mean, right now, because we don't want to incentivize evictions, if the tenant is evicted, we do not pay the back rent to the landlord. If someone is evicted, what we consider that in the program, we consider that a landlord refusal, meaning the landlord refused to participate with the program and accept assistance or didn't get an application in before evicting. So the, at the point of eviction, it's considered a refusal. And then we would try to get assistance to the tenant directly. And then it's up to the tenant to figure out if they're paying the landlord, paying the utilities, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, that is an issue. So if they evict, we can't help. And that is that can feel unfair to the landlords. But what we're trying to figure out is we don't want to incentivize, you know, if you can get paid in full and evict, well, why would you keep anybody housed, you know? So we really do want to keep people housed so we don't pay landlords if there's already been an eviction.
As far as the threat of eviction, is it greater in one part of the state than another?
Oh, that is so hard to say. I will say we have not spent time analyzing eviction data. We have a partnership with the Administrative Office of the Courts to start receiving eviction filings data so that we can flag them in our system. But we have not done a look back to try to see where are there the most or, you know, per capita the most. But I think you could assume probably pretty safely that where we have larger population centers and larger concentrations of rental units, which is, of course, going to be Louisville, Lexington, Northern Kentucky, Bowling Green, areas around any military bases. Those are going to have more, but it doesn't mean evictions aren't happening everywhere. You know, nobody's, no tenant, you know, is totally safe just because of where they live. But there are areas that have a much higher frequency of, you know, eviction dockets and the cases on those dockets. But I don't have great numbers for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I did think of a question. So, you know, hard to speculate, but do you think this is going to kind of work itself out, or will work in the next few months if things will stabilize?
Well, I will say this. And we as an organization have never had funding to do eviction prevention, diversion, or response. And now we do. And so I'll have a better answer for you, of course, in a few months when we have a sense of that. What I would like to say is this funding from Treasury can allow us to operate some version of eviction prevention, diversion, and response really until September of 2025. So that's not a short time horizon. You know, it's not long term, but for years we couldn't think about doing something meaningful to keep people housed or help them get rehoused and not enter homelessness. And so if nothing else comes across to landlords and tenants, one of the most important things to share is that we have plenty of funding and will last us for years to try to help keep people housed. I never in my career have been able to say that. You know, it's always scarcity and it's always only the neediest can apply. And this is not that case. And so we're trying to think about what makes sense for, you know, 3 or 4 years. And when that concludes, when the funding does time out, what makes sense to try to keep going with other funding if we can. So my hope is that we don't see a giant tidal wave and that we do reach some stabilization. But even when we reach that sort of new normal level of eviction, maybe we're able to have an ongoing response to that for several years with these very unique dollars that we've been given.